It's good to be back in God's house tonight. A lot of y'all know that I've been away for a little bit. Living in Nashville, and it's good to be home. A lot of people love me. A lot of people love each other around here. I appreciated it to an extent. But when I left, I didn't realize what I had till I didn't have it anymore. And I knew y'all were still there for me. I knew y'all would have done anything for me. But, and, you know, those city folks, they're a little different. But I think the main difference is that all of us, we know God.
Amen.
And a lot of them don't know God out there. And I think that's one of the main differences. And I don't know, I just, it's good to be back. And it's good to be back in this area, and it's good to be, you know, I know the Lord has led me back here, and I know He's given me sign upon sign upon sign. And it takes me a long time to, you know, I'm pretty stubborn. I wouldn't say that it takes me a long time to tell stuff, because it didn't take me long to tell that I got saved, and it only took me 4 days to tell my calling to preach. So I get all in a mess about that. But I'm pretty stubborn about my life and what I want to do and stuff like that. And, you know, that's I know where I'm supposed to be, and I'm supposed to be here.
Amen.
And I guess tonight would be the irony. I'm going to start out talking about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We talked about wisdom. I talked about it last time I preached here, just a little bit, and I don't know exactly how the Lord wants this message to go, but just pray for me that I'll do what He says. I know this morning I thought I knew what I was going to preach on, then it changed, and I went home and I studied this afternoon after the baptizing. And but let me tell you something, this church has been blessed.
Amen.
And in the words of Brother Mark Horton, it's been good stuff.
Yeah.
It's been good. I didn't make it to y'all's revival, but I reckon y'all are still having it.
Amen.
So things have been going pretty good here. And over in Proverbs chapter 2 is where I want to start. I went to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. You know, over the years, I guess I didn't realize, you know, I hadn't actually looked into the dictionary, and I kept wondering, why are all these preachers looking at this dictionary? Like, why do they keep looking at the dictionary? I looked in the dictionary, and actually, after every single definition in that dictionary, there is a Bible reference. There's a Bible reference, and sometimes there's two or three of them. I mean, and I was like, now I totally get it. But wisdom, and I got four definitions here. Wisdom is the right use or exercise of knowledge. It is the faculty of discerning or judging what is most just, proper, and useful. Knowledge is a clear and certain perception of that which exists, or of truth and fact. Truth is conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. And understanding is comprehending the ideas or sense of another or of a writing, learning or being informed. Now, I believe that it's important to have understanding before anything else. And I'm going to read you a few scripture here, and Lord willing, he'll just take over, and I won't have to worry about it.
Amen.
But says in Proverbs chapter 2, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go into her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Now, when I was lost, the first thing that I had to do was have understanding. And that understanding is understanding that I was a sinner, that I was without God, that I had sinned against Him, and that as a whole, I was part of the human race that brought Jesus to die on the cross. Because He died for everyone before He lived. He died for everyone while He was here on earth. And He died for everyone thereafter. And I believe His blood was sufficient for all of mankind, past, present, and future. And in order for you to understand, you need to go to God. You that are lost, the first part of wisdom, the very first part of wisdom, the beginning of all wisdom, is the fear of God. Now, when you're lost and you're separated from God and you've got that trouble in your heart and you've got a choice at that point, and that's where the beginning of your wisdom starts. Now, at that point, you still will not have godly knowledge, but at that point, you will make your first step towards wisdom, making that choice to bow down before an almighty God. I need you tonight, that if you're lost and separated from God, I need you to realize and understand what me, what Brother Likens, what Brother Marty, what all these other preachers are saying. And I know there's like six preachers here tonight, but we're all here for the same reason. Amen. I need you to understand tonight that this is real, this is important, and this is the most important thing you'll do. Amen. That school and education is important. Yeah, I'll give you that. Education's important. These things that, you know, learning about stuff, it's good knowledge. But let me tell you here tonight, that without God, it's going to be in vain. You that are lost and don't know God, if you go through this life thinking you know something, I'm telling you, you know nothing. My grandfather, he had an eighth grade education. He's smarter than most men out there. Why? Because he made things right with the Lord. A lot of us are old country boys. I've always worked a blue collar job. Even before I was working out in I was working with Uncle Mark when I was 13, 14 years old, just cleaning out fence rows, bringing hay at the top of the barn. We'd feed the cows, we'd feed the chickens, we'd go and, you know, sometimes the goats had, and my favorite thing was to go and feed those goats medicine. I mean, me and Uncle Mark, we had a good old time doing that. A lot of us are just old country boys, or you know, a lot of us, you know, our brother Jeff says over and over again, and I'm going to put him on the spotlight just for a little bit. He says over and over again, "Well, I ain't very smart." Just a couple minutes ago, he said he didn't have any sense. I tell you what, Brother Jeff is smarter than a lot of these folks out here that don't have God. Why? Because godly wisdom and godly knowledge is a lot more important than all this mess that's happening out here. None of this is going to matter one day after a while. And the fact that we even worry about it is, I mean, the devil is getting to us today. The adversary is fighting. He's doing a good job. I'm going to tell you right now. You look on the news, you look and see what's going on in the world. He's doing his job, ain't he, folks? He is. It's scary. It's a lot. I mean, I thought it was scary when I was a kid, but it's a lot scarier now with diseases, with people dying every day, with bombings, with shootings, with all this stuff that's going on. I'm telling you, none of that compares to burning in hell forever and ever. And I guarantee you that the rich man is there right now. Nothing's more important than salvation. You don't need to be worrying about what everybody else is doing. You don't need to be worrying about what's going on in the world. To an extent you do, but you need to be more worried about your soul. And tonight, I just want you to take that first step into understanding how important it is to be saved. Over in John chapter 3, I didn't mark this, so y'all have to bear with me. Well, maybe I did. But over in John chapter 3, very familiar scripture, very familiar. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, that no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that's the first instruction here in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus that Jesus gave him was, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I think that Nicodemus took a necessary first step and to start asking questions. And a lot of us will look and see, well, a lot of these questions, it's silly what he was thinking, because I grew up in church. I've heard of these terms, being born again, you know, no-so salvation, heartfelt salvation. But Nicodemus, see, he didn't know anything about being saved, and he started asking questions. And no matter how silly your questions are, if you're lost, please ask. Amen. Because I can't do anything for you, but I can point you to the one that can save your soul. I can instruct you, and I can tell you what it was like when I was lost. And these brothers and sisters, they can tell you what it's like when they were lost. But when it comes down to it, in order for you to be saved, it's between you and God. And Nicodemus, he made the first steps. He said, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And I know a lot of us think that's a silly question, but Nicodemus, I don't believe he was being silly. I believe he was curious. And I'm telling you, when, you know, sometimes curiosity gets the best of us, and we get in a lot of trouble. But when it comes to God and comes to the gospel, I want you to be curious. I want you to want to learn about it. I want you to understand why that you're lost. Why that you're feeling the way that you do. It starts out with something very simple. There was a man and a woman that were in the Garden of Eden when the Lord created earth. When he created earth, he gave them animals. Adam named all the animals. He gave them one rule. Do not touch of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. That was their only rule. Like the adversary today, he went in there and he started telling a little bit of lies. He mixed a little bit of truth and a little bit of lies there. See, he didn't directly lie to him. They would have known that he directly lied to him. But see, what the devil's good at is he's good at taking truth and lie, mixing it together. That way it confuses people. Yeah. And it confused old Eve over there because the serpent which was the devil, he told them, well, if you take of the fruit, you're not going to die. You're just going to know. You're going to know what God knows. You're going to be knowledgeable. But what they didn't realize is that God meant two things. You're going to die spiritually. And I believe at the point that they took the fruit that they started dying physically. They started aging. With that being said, they disobeyed God directly. They had one rule and they disobeyed it. That was the first time mankind sinned. And that sin is why we have a sinful nature. In that sinful nature, the only way to clear our sins and our disobedience to God, there had to be a perfect sacrifice. There had to be a lamb that was without spot and without blemish. And there was no one that could make that sacrifice except for Jesus Christ, who left heaven, not only gave up his life in heaven, became a man, understood what it was like to be a man, understood what it was like to be tempted as a man, understood what it was like to age. But guess what? Jesus didn't do anything. He was born of a virgin. He was without spot and without blemish. He didn't even have a sinful thought. Can you imagine that? Not even thinking about anything bad? Can you imagine that? Well, he did it. Absolutely, he did it. I wouldn't be standing here before you today if I didn't believe he did it. But he did it. And he went up Mount Calvary. He bore his cross. He got up there. They nailed his hands and his feet on that cross. And he took on the sins from the beginning of time until the end of time all upon his shoulders. And he sacrificed himself, the one who had never sinned, for you. You that are lost. That is the most basic. That is the most basic I could explain to you why that it's important to know why you're lost. You're lost because you're a sinner. I was lost because I was a sinner. Understanding is a very important part of that. And lost person, if you don't understand, you know, you may not have reached the age of accountability yet, but if there's going to be a point in time in your life where you're going to get old enough and then one day you're going to realize that was wrong. What I did was wrong. I feel bad about that. And when you reach that age of accountability, you're going to feel that trouble inside, that turmoil. I don't feel so good. You know why? Because you feel guilty of sinning. You've made the realization that you feel guilty, that something's not right. You did something wrong and that you need to apologize for it. But you see, you can't go out and apologize or make things right with mama and daddy when you get that feeling inside, because they can't do anything for you. When you feel that convicting power come into your heart, when you feel that, you know, some people call it knocking on your heart. Some people, you know, just say you feel trouble inside. But whatever it is that you feel, whatever your individual experience is, the only way that we all had to go to was through Jesus Christ, the one that sacrificed himself. He is the mediator between us and God the Father. Amen. Over in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, it says, "And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. See, this woman knew and had an understanding of what kind of condition that her daughter was in, and realized that she needed to go to Jesus for this. And you know, back then there was the Jews and the Gentiles. And, you know, Jesus was talking about how that it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it into the dogs. You know, there was, you know, the Jews knew about salvation, and the Gentiles, you know, they were always separated. And this woman said, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She wanted what the Jews had. She wanted that. She wanted to, just like that woman with the issue of blood, just to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She wanted what? She wanted her daughter saved from this ailment, from whatever was going on with her. And because of her faith, her daughter was made whole. And it's by faith and faith alone that you'll be saved. But that's only through God's grace. Through faith, understanding, and knowledge, when you get saved, you begin to have godly wisdom. And the only way to obtain godly wisdom is through salvation. To know what we're truly singing about and to know what we truly are feeling here tonight, you have to be saved. I know you think that sometimes we look like a mess. Some of us are shouting across the house. Some of us are singing songs. Some of us are testifying what we're singing. I tell you what, when I was lost, it looked like a big old mess. But when I'm saved, it just seems like everything's fitting together. Amen. It all works for the Lord, and it gives Him honor and glory, and that's what I love to see. But tonight, the reason why that we feel so good and that it's good to be a child of God is because we knew that we were poor, lost beggars. And that He saved our soul. Out of everyone in the world, He reached down and saved our soul. And that's something. Amen. It's more real today than anything else is. And tonight I want to tell you about a man who was a poor. He was poor, he was lame. I think the story speaks for itself, but over in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 9. It says, and David said, Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all pertaining to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread away at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all were dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. Now tonight, I want you to know that in order to humble yourself down, you have to feel like old Mephibosheth over here. Because I can tell you, I'm nothing but a sinner. I'm nothing but a dirty old dog. A dirty, dead old dog. But see, the Lord, He doesn't see us that way. We're sinners and we're, you know, our righteousness is as of dirty rags, but He has the desire to save us. You that are lost, He wants you to be saved, and you've got to get into that mindset like David did over in Psalms, where the pains of hell got a hold of him, where he felt trouble and sorrow in the eyes of the Lord. You've got to get into that mindset that nothing else matters in this earth. Nothing should get in front of that. Man. Something as small as school, as small as toys, as small as playing outside with your buddies, as small as loving your mom and daddy more than you want to get saved. If your mama and daddy's saved, they're going to a better place. But you can't ride their coattails into heaven. Amen. That's between you and God. But tonight, I'm telling you that there is a Savior that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's above all of the monarchs that have ever existed on this earth. King of all kings, Lord of all lords. That one night when I was 13 years old and was a poor lost sinner without God and nothing to my name, nothing, I went down a beggar and I came up a millionaire. And I can tell you one day, after a while, I want to be up in heaven. I know that. Right now, I'm just eating a little bit of scraps here and there at church services. You know, I don't shout a lot, and I shouted last Sunday. I mean, that's some good food for the soul. Amen. But I can tell you one day, I'm gonna eat at the king's table. I'm going to eat at the king's table one day after a while. Just me, an old Macon County boy that grew up that didn't have a nickel to his name. One day I'm going to be eating at the king's table. Woo! Oh, man, there ain't going to be anything like it. And if you're lost and without God and you don't understand what it's like to be saved, I can tell you that there's nothing like it in the world. It feels so good. And just to know that I have that security that one day after a while I'll be going to heaven and that I'll be with my friends and loved ones, but most of all see the one who bled and died for my sins. Eating it. I'm going to be eating at the king's table for eternity. I didn't do anything to deserve that. It was Jesus' sacrifice that made it possible. It's all because of Him. I'm not up here because of Corey Kemp. I'm not up here because of Marty Metter or Brad Whittemore. I'm up here because of the Lord. I want to give Him all the honor and glory. Why? Because He took me out. out of that sin. He made me a new creature. He saved my soul from hell. I tell you what, there's no better place than to be here right now tonight. I tell you what, it's good. It's good. There ain't nothing bad about God. I can tell you that much. He's all good. He's the definition of good. And if you want what I have and you want what our brothers and sisters have, you got to understand how important it is tonight to be saved. Because once you finally have that understanding and the knowledge that you need God, you'll understand what true godly wisdom is. That night, I got saved. I knew what it was to know what was right and wrong. And I knew what it was that night to know what it felt like to be saved. Finally got to get a piece of what I had heard about all along. I gone throughout all my life. I went over five years lost and without God. I was wondering, how does it feel to be saved? I don't know how it feels to be saved. And then that night that I just, instead of trying to do things Corey's way, instead of trying to do things the way that I thought would be the right way to get saved, that night I just said, Lord, I'm tired of being lost and I don't know what to do anymore. As soon as I gave up everything, as soon as I realized that there was nothing that I could do, that's when the Lord came in and He took away that trouble and He gave me peace. Amen. Everlasting. Yeah. Something that I still, to this day, just can't describe. But it's more real than this mourner's bench. It's more real than this anything you see. It's more real than it. And there's nothing like it. If you're lost here tonight, I have confidence in this church that this altar is always open from the moment you come into this church. I pray that if you're lost and without God, that you make things right before you leave this building tonight or before you get home. And if you make it home, before tomorrow. That's all the Lord's put on my heart. I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Jeff.